stepped away before we started, Mike, so I don't know if you heard what Todd said, but since we're the number one Fortnite podcast on the internet, I figured I'll bring it back up. Todd's pissed that Korra is seemingly the big collab in the Battle Pass. Care to comment?
No, Todd actually said that no one cares about Korra.
That's actually
what he said.
Yes, agreed. Thank you for clarifying.
Interesting. Yes. Now, I guess my question is, what is Todd's beef specifically with Korra? I'm trying to suss out if he just doesn't care about the franchise or the character.
Do you really think that it's a Korra-specific thing and not just Todd doesn't know what Avatar is?
Oh, I know what Avatar is. I just think
it's trash. I don't want to watch a little kid do karate and fucking...
I was like, Avatar is blue people. What is this shit?
We all know that he's been on James Cameron's Wang for years. He's like,
Minus Avatar.
This was groundbreaking.
Trash.
Yeah, so to quote Todd, he doesn't want to watch a little kid do karate, so they pick the main character who is very much a teenager, and he's like,
fucking teenagers, come on.
This is how you immediately get Todd to hate what you're doing. You have kids doing karate, teenagers doing karate, or kids singing. Those are like Todd's three no-nos.
Cobra Kai gets a free pass because of Johnny.
Why?
Because Johnny fucking, you know, he carries that show on his back.
Okay, all right.
Johnny Karate.
Yeah, let's add some Parks and Rec skins, right?
Can we get the Peacock Battle Pass?
Are we gonna make
battle passes this episode? Is that what we're doing again?
I mean, that's not what we're doing again. But I mean, Mike, hit me with a Peacock Battle Pass. What's the top five?
We're doing a whole Peacock Battle Pass now.
Well, I mean, unless you want to just make it Parks and Rec,
because there are some, you know, heavy hitters on Peacock or NBC that I definitely wasn't watching, so I can't speak to the validity of them. I can only say like, oh yeah, put some Office stuff in there, put some Parks and Rec stuff in there. Put some 30 Rock in there.
One of the main emotes is dropping the chili from the office.
That would be a good emote.
That would be a really good emote. What would be a good group emote from one of those shows? Unrelated, but you know what would be a fucking incredible group emote? First of all, they need to just do an Evangelion crossover at some point, but if they did a emote that you could like, you could add on, you know, what you hold X or whatever, and you can like join the emote. If there's a congratulations emote and you can just join in and clap and congratulations, that would be kind of incredible.
I thought you were gonna just have like an emote of Shinji curled up in a chair.
I mean, that would have to be mandatory too. That would be a built-in one. They'd all have built-in ones. Asuka would be pathetic. Could you imagine standing over someone you killed and just going, pathetic?
Yo, let's get a Principal Skinner skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all over the place today.
Yeah,
where are those? Instead of this trash core and fucking all this other garbage they're throwing in. What was the battle pass, not last season, but the one before it?
I
it was just nothing. OG? Miss, right?
It was OG?
It was just, yeah, it was just... It had like nothing in it though.
It was OG. Yeah, it was just. Wasn't it just old stuff remixed?
It was. Yeah, it was mixed together skins. It was like two skins mixed together.
Yeah. Anyways, welcome everyone to the Pass Control Podcast, a show where a couple of best friends talk about the latest in video games and nerd culture. Sometimes we have guests. Sometimes we talk about Korra too much. Either way, is that show called Korra? What is Korra's show called?
It's called Korra.
Legend of Korra.
Yeah, the Legend of Korra. There it is.
Legend of Korra. Okay. Why does Todd know that? What is happening?
I'm telling you, even though Todd talks a lot of shit, he does come in like moderately informed.
he word bubbles it. He looks at the, you know, proper nouns and he just reads them out.
And that's more than what a lot of people do. So
That's true. He's committed to the bit. You know, he's committed to the hate. We got a great show for you. As always, I'm your host, Brennan Groom, and joining me on this lovely Friday evening is the anime senpai himself, Mr. Michael Desire. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
I'm trying to figure out how I complained to Uber that while I found my food, it was not delivered to me.
Just say it was their delivery issue. See if they gave you a little credit or something, a little refund.
I just want a little credit. Yeah. Like I was not.
I'm telling you.
I don't want, like, hopefully when the people who they left the food on, like, doorstep, if they look at their Ring camera, they can see that I clearly ran over there and grabbed an erroneously delivered food item.
Mike just confirms every time he fucking has a fucking delivery from these things that I should never, like, because I don't do any of these deliveries, and I swear to God, it's like once a month.
I'm confused. Do you just not order takeout, Todd?
Never. Never.
I mean, listen, like, good for you, I guess. I don't know. I don't have these kinds of issues.
I don't think food travels that well for, like either restaurant food or any of this shit. Like, by the time you get it, it's just fucking, like, steamed up in the container and fucking a little, like, soggy. Like, I don't like any food like that to go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't tell you guys about good delivery orders. Like, this morning I ordered from Gulu and it came fine. That's not a fun story though. So, like, I bring it up when they deliver my food across the street and I have to run over there, to grab it. Yeah, that's a story. That's not even really a story, to be honest.
I have so many questions I want to ask Todd about this, but I don't want this to turn into the episode. But, like, yeah, there are some things that don't travel well, but there's, like, plenty of food that tastes absolutely fine.
Oh, name one.
Pizza.
Yeah, obviously pizza. Pizza.
Why obviously pizza? What's the difference?
Name of food.
Because pizza's good cold.
It's to go. Yeah, but it's not coming cold.
But yeah, I feel like pizza's one of those few things that travels well.
I mean, there are definitely things that don't travel well, but there are plenty of things that, like, I think are totally fine. I don't know. I wouldn't say I order a lot of takeout, but I mean, I do. We had takeout tonight. We had Spitfire tacos because usually on the weekend we pick one cheat meal every week, and I wanted fucking tacos, so we got Spitfire tacos. Absolutely nothing wrong with these things. They didn't taste old or cold or soggy or whatever. They were fucking delicious, and I was happy. And that's my fucking story. Anyways, also joining us, of course, is the fucking anti-takeout Toddy himself, Todd Gary. Todd, how are you doing tonight?
Good. Fuck core.
Todd is on one tonight.
Todd is angry, and, like, I think he wants me to fight him for it. I liked core.
He's like, Mike, a huge core. Are you a huge, like, core person?
Avatar and Legend of Korra were both good shows. I've heard people dislike Korra for a bunch of reasons, but, you know, Korra was fine. It was, I think it had issues with its storytelling that just kind of happened because of the way Nickelodeon treated the series. But
give me a Thundermans battle pass and I'm good to go.
What the hell is wrong with you?
What the fuck is Thundermans?
Fuck knows.
It's a Nickelodeon show. It's fucking so stupid.
Todd just wants the blue. Anytime they keep adding more animated stuff, Todd's like, where's Bluey? He doesn't want to say it. He doesn't want to out himself. Yeah, he doesn't want
all day long. Give me that shit over Korra. I mean,
yeah, Todd would get a Bluey tattoo if the opportunity presented itself.
And rounding us out tonight, of course, is the Disney daddy himself, Dominic 40. Dom, how are you doing?
Sorry, I was going to bring it up, but Todd already did that. Korra is Nickelodeon, so that means this is two seasons in a row we've gotten a Nickelodeon collab with Fortnite.
I get that big Nick energy.
That's right. SpongeBob coming.
Yeah, we could.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, well, do you know how hyped that would be if it was fucking SpongeBob right now?
Todd or Mike, hit him with the fucking hit us with the. I don't want to put you in the spot. So I don't do it if you want to, but hit us with that SpongeBob laugh. You know you got one. You know you got a pocket SpongeBob.
He already put you on the spot.
He already put me on the spot, and it's not gonna come out. It's not gonna.
Okay.
Well, I'm
listen, if it presents itself later and you want to just slip one in, you know, have a blast.
I haven't practiced in a while, and that sounds
just good. Do the hey, SpongeBob.
why does Todd's hey SpongeBob sound like Darth Nihilus?
Oh, it sounds like Snuffleupagus to me.
Hey bird.
Of course, as soon as we start recording, that code just came through. So, Dom, the one we're talking about. So I'll download it after. Anyways, we got a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk about a few different things. But before we do that, a couple of quick housekeeping things. The movie pick for the PC Movie Club for March is Dom's pick. And It is Poor Things. Poor Things is available now on Hulu to stream. So if you don't want to purchase it or buy it to rent and you have Hulu, it is available over on Hulu. So we're going to watch and talk about Poor Things at the end of the month. So, and I'll preface this up front and I'll preface it for the rest of the month. But obviously this month might have some interruptions in normal programming, especially towards the end of the month, because there's at least 1 week where we will be out of commission because we will be traveling to PAX East. So not next week, but the week after, there probably will not be a regular episode. I'm trying to put some things together, so there might be an episode that still airs that week, but it won't be a live show because it'll be recorded beforehand or just maybe earlier in the week. So we'll see.
Hotel room show?
Listen, I'm down for a hotel. I'm always down for a hotel room show. I can bring the stuff. I'll have some of my stuff with me because of the panel. So we can always do that. Remind me later, Mike. I don't know if you today, but I do want to see what the feasibility is for us to potentially record the panel if we have the means, and it's something we can easily do. I want to see if we can do that so we have at least the audio.
I forget what we did last time. I forget if I needed XLR cables for anything.
I don't remember either. I can also email the person, the contact, and ask what we would need to bring with us. But I know at least when we tried to film it, we had issues. So, and if that's going to be too big of a thing to figure out, then like if we don't have the video, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I still
the audio would be nice.
We can pull something off. I'll bring some stuff with me.
So we'll see. But anyways, so yeah, I guess that's a nice segue into if you're going to be at PAX East at the end of the month, or not the end of the month, the 21st to the 24th, I think are the dates. 20th, so it's that week. Not next week, the week after. I should just actually pull up the dates because I'm just saying words at this point, and that's not helpful to anybody. But PAX East, I believe, is 21 to 24. I am going to be on two different panels, one that I'm hosting and one that I'm a guest on. The panel that I'm hosting is Saturday, March 23rd at 9 p.m. It is video game cocktail party, sipping on our favorite games. You can join myself, friends of the show. I think almost all of them have been on the show at some point. Jesse Vitelli, who has been on the show many times, you may know. Michael Heim has been on the show a few times. Jenny Windham, who I think has not been on the show proper, but has been on panels with us. So they've at least been on the podcast feed through PAX panels. And then Kate Sanchez, who has not been on the podcast yet. But it's going to be a great... Oh, and Kenneth Shepard, who's been on the show plenty of times. So going to be a great panel. We're going to talk about video games. I'm making cocktails for a game that each of the four of them have chosen. So we'll have a fun little panel around that. And then on Sunday... March 24th at 12:30. I forget what room it's in. Let me just go to the date. At 12:30 on Sunday, I will be a guest on Between Two Screens, a Nintendo DS retrospective. That is at 12:30 on Sunday in the Albatross Theater. If you can't make that one, though, that one will be streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/PAX2. So if you can't be at the show and you want to see me talk about the Nintendo DS, I will be on that panel. I think that'll do it for housekeeping. Keep it lean today. But that'll bring us into just kind of steamrolling right ahead. I know what I've been playing. I know what Todd has been playing. I want to save those until after we get through if Dom and or Mike have things that they've been playing this week they want to talk about. Mike, anything? Anything going on in your world?
Not really. A boring dude.
What about you, Dom? I need you texting me with something.
I've beaten the Bluey game that's on Game Pass. That is a quick little game. If you're
was it good?
If you're a fan of Bluey, or if you're like playing with kids, it's worth playing. It is like very short, and like there's not like a ton of story to it, so. I also played through a game called Return to Grace, which is also on Game Pass. It's pretty narrative-driven. There's some puzzles. there's some, like, there's a few different endings from what I've read, based on decisions that you make in the game. It's worth checking it out if you've got a few hours. It's again, it's a pretty short game. I think it was a 4-hour game. Mm-hmm. It's about a astronaut from the future that travels to a, like, lost. Earth had set up a settlement on an asteroid and lost contact with it. So the astronaut goes out to, like, find out what happened to it and whatever. Pretty interesting story. And I am now on chapter 11 of the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I was going to say, every time I'm on PlayStation, I see you on there.
I need to unprivate my PlayStation because I have it locked because of Rebirth. Not that I don't really turn my PlayStation on outside of playing a PlayStation-specific game. So.
I play PlayStation more than Xbox at this point.
That's not the case for me, but good for you. I'm glad you're enjoying your PlayStation, Todd. Speaking of that, we can just jump right into what you finished yesterday or today or whatever. Keep it spoiler-free still, just because it is still rather new, and at some point, at this point, probably after PAX, we'll do a proper Final Fantasy Rebirth spoiler cast. But what are your like kind of overall takeaways? The episode you weren't on, I did a review on it. I also wrote my review about it. I gave it a 9 out of 10. I don't know where you're at. Kind of where you want to speak on the game and how you've kind of landed on it.
I'd probably give it like an 8, 7.5, 5 out of 10. It's I've told Brendan a lot of my issues.
Did
with
that
this
just
game.
Happen to anyone else or just me?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what just happened to your audio, but it was like a fucking DJ was scratching you up. It was like 7.5, 5, 5. It was very bizarre. So we don't know what you actually said.
Oh, I said, like, I'd give it, like, a 7.58. I still have issues with this game that I had with Remake when it comes to, like, the pacing of the game and just overall, like, I feel like in Remake, every time something got good, it came to a screeching halt to do some stuff that I didn't really necessarily want to do or just kind of slow-moving parts. And I feel like this game, I don't know, I played it for, like, 80 hours, which is pretty fucking long time. But by the end of the game, like, I thought the ending was great. The last two chapters were good. But, there's just certain things in that game that I feel like it could be a lot shorter and didn't need to be the way it was that wouldn't, like, hinder the story or really directly affect the story at all. Yeah. And I was talking to Brendan about some, like, just little things, like, and this is going to sound stupid, but, you know, there's, like, vines you can climb and shit like that. And, like, it's just, like, the most slow-moving climbing mechanics. It's just like, oh, I gotta do this. And, like, even, like, little praying stuff and, like, it was just little things like that that I'm just like, oh, God, this game is, it's getting so good. And then I'm like, and then I gotta do this. And then, I think it's a good game. Like, don't get me wrong. But it
7.5, 5, 5, 5.
Yeah. It was very immersion breaking. A lot of the parts in this game that were, like, you know, trying to stealthily get a chocobo here and there, or, like, pulling a cube that, like, moves, like, so slowly, yeah. Or throwing boxes that, like, oh, God, like, there's just so many, there's a part, you know, which obviously we don't have to get into it, but there's just, like, a whole part, and I think it's, like, chapter, like, 10, maybe, or 9, that, like, I almost stopped playing the game. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm just done. Like, I was like, I'll just fucking watch a YouTube video at this point, but, yeah, that's, I mean, yeah,
like, listen, I have a lot of those same issues, and I hated some of those parts of the game. But, like, it's ultimately what keeps it from being a 10 for me. But it doesn't knock it down so drastically for me personally.
This is wild though, because the combat's so good, and then, like, you're just like, okay, now we're gonna have you do this stuff, and I'm just like, and so there were so many times, and I felt like I feel like I was pretty loud about this with Remake. Where there was just, like, a lot of things that, like, you're doing something good, and then all of a sudden you're like, why am I doing this?
Yeah,
like,
but why and this is, like, where I'll jump into, like, with Remake, I feel like it had a lot of the same issues that you're talking about, and I had a lot of the same issues with it as well. And the game around it wasn't as good as Rebirth. Like, Rebirth does so much more and has so much there and is such a better game, in my opinion, that, like, it allows some of those weird slow pacing, like, just honestly bad gameplay, like, things. I guess gimmicks would be an apt word to use, because, like, they are most of the time just, like, weird gimmicks that you're doing for this section and you never fucking do again.
Well, it's like,
why are we doing this?
It's like at the saucer, talk to this guy. Now go talk to this guy. And it's just like, ugh, I'm just walking. You know, it's just like shit like that. And like, I feel like that happens so much in Rebirth that like, it just seems so unnecessary sometimes. I also feel like the bosses were way better. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like the bosses were way better in Remake than they were in Rebirth.
Oh, I don't know about that. You just wanted fucking Hell House again. That's all you want.
No, I just felt like they were more memorable.
I'm assuming,
like,
I can say, because Dom, have you fought Hell House yet? Yeah.
I have beaten Hell House.
Yeah, like, no, but, like, even in the train yard, like, bosses like that, like, I don't feel like there were many standout bosses, minus, like, obviously, like, the end of the game boss. But, like, I really don't feel like there was anything that really stood out to me that as far as bosses go. Like, I feel like Remake had, like, a lot of bosses where I was like, oh, yo, I won't forget that.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. There's some fucking cool boss fights in that game. It's very hard to talk about certain things without just saying things, so that, like, I can't say specific stuff, but there are definitely, I think, some cool boss fights.
For me,
even,
I think the game...
Even, like, that early boss fight, like, it's first chapter, so, like, I still feel like you can't really say anything, but it's like the first thing you fight with at the beginning of the game. If you play the demo, I didn't play the demo, but I'm pretty sure it's that section of the game. It's the first chapter where you're... It's a flashback and you're... with Sephiroth. So it's like Cloud and Sephiroth.
Yeah.
That boss fight is super fun for a lot of reasons, but there's some cool stuff. I mean, go ahead.
No, I was going
to
say,
I talk about this game a lot, so I need to shut up.
This is probably like a wild take, but I feel like this game peaked on chapter 4, and I don't think it ever got better than chapter 4.
That is a wild take.
Yeah. I thought that was, I was like so in love with that chapter. I like thought that chapter was like amazing. And I'm like, oh man, this game is so fucking good. And then, it was still good after that, but I think that was like that it peaked at that chapter for me. That was hands down my favorite chapter in the game. It is the I don't want to spoil anything, so it's like,
what part of the game is Junon?
It's when Barrett's in a sailor outfit.
Yeah, Junon.
Yeah, Junon. Okay.
Well, when you're in the sky on the ship, or when you're at Costa del Sol.
When you're in the sky in the ship.
Yeah, that's Junon. Yeah, Junon's a great part of the game. But then, like, even Costa del Sol right after is a good part of the game. And then it, like, quickly becomes, in my opinion, bogged down by a lot of the things that aggravate me about the game. I don't know. There's some cool stuff in there. Like, and now I'm and I won't say anything and don't say anything specific about this, but the chapter in between Junon and Costa del Sol is a fucking highlight for me. The Queen's Blood chapter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that was
good. It's a short chapter about Queen's Blood. Yeah. It's so good. I don't know. I respect your opinion. I absolutely can see why you fall on that mark there. I don't know. Especially like,
because I feel like every chapter after that, I was annoyed by something. Where like leading into chapter 4 and after and going through chapter 4, I wasn't really annoyed by anything. There was nothing that was like hindering what I was doing. But then like
You're misremembering the Mithril Mines.
Maybe. It's been so long. It's like, I feel like I've been playing this game forever. So it's like, it's been about a straight month.
I think the worst two parts of this game in its entirety, and this is pretty much where it became a 9 out of 10 for me and not a 10 out of 10, was it has, like you said, it has horrible pacing. I think you're absolutely right. I think part of that pacing problem is the mini games. There's just so many things that get gamified for,
and you're kind of forced to do them too. You're like sometimes you can't even like you go to a town. It's like, go do these 6 things, and I'm like, okay. Like it doesn't really like push the story forward. It doesn't really do anything.
Yeah, there's definitely a balance issue. I think in certain spots that some of that stuff could have just remained optional, and the people that the people that love Final Fantasy VII and they want to see all of these things recreated in this game that they loved from the original or whatever, there's a way to put all that stuff in there and not force everyone to do it.
Oh, I will say this too. Another highlight of the game was the flying saucer the first time. You know, when you go to the hotel and everything, that was great.
I was so in and out of the. I got in and out of Gold Saucer.
Did you? Okay. Like, yeah.
It was fine. I was just mini gamed out at that point.
It wasn't the mini game. It's like the hotel itself, like with the guys like upside down. Cool. And everything. Yeah. Okay.
The I forget who tweeted. I think I saw a tweet that was basically like, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is like Mario Party the RPG or something. I fucking died laughing because it's right. It's just so full of mini games. So that's where you're landing. 7.5, 8 out of 10.
I'll give it an 8 just because there are like thinking back, there are like a lot of stuff that I did like, but yeah. So, I mean, it didn't do much to knock what bothered me in the first game.
So I'm curious because I think we were both kind of hard on remake. And I think we were both kind of in a similar boat of I don't think we were both super excited for Rebirth. I think we were both kind of just like, we'll play it. I think as Rebirth got closer, I was getting a little more like, you know what? My opinion over time has definitely softened on Remake. I still have certain issues with it, but I definitely like a lot more about that game now. So I was getting a little excited about Rebirth leading up to it because I was very curious to see where they were going to take the story, but I was also just remembering how much I loved the combat of Remake, and they like the combat in this is the same as Remake, but they've added so many more mechanics onto it, like the synergy abilities and all these other like things that were not in Remake. And like, I was excited to go to that. But with that being said, now that we're both through Rebirth, where are you in regards to like excitement thinking about where this is going to like finish, like with the third game?
I don't know. I think I'm in the same boat as I was after Remake.
Yeah. Listen, I really, really, really liked the combat this time around, and I am definitely excited to do more of that. But I think more so, I'm definitely excited. Maybe excited is the wrong word. I'm excited to do the combat again and play the game again. But I think I am not as excited, but more just curious where this story goes. Because I definitely have strong feelings about how this game ends, and that will be tabled for the spoiler cast.
I have a little bit of a hot take right now, though. I think I liked Final Fantasy 16 more. I actually can say I liked Final Fantasy 16 more.
I don't think that's a hot take. I mean, I think the hot take are people that... Actually, no, I love Rebirth. I think Rebirth is great. It's fantastic. It's a 9 out of 10. It's a fantastic game. I just think that a lot of people are having their moment in the sunshine with this game right now and haven't played the whole game yet and haven't gotten to the end of the game yet and haven't gone through these pacing issues and haven't experienced the end of the game. I'm curious to see over time this year how people's opinions, if they change on the game, because I don't know. You saying you like 16 more, I think there probably will be a good amount of people that might have that same opinion of whether or not, but there are people that say like 16 is like a top three.
I think you guys are also farther away from 16, and you forget how much pacing problems 16 had.
Oh no, but it has pacing problems, but I feel like
more than 16. Like, I that's think, not a question for me.
I like the combat better than 16.
Oh, I don't like the combat.
I said that last week.
And I also like Clive as a character more than Cloud. I don't think Cloud's anything special. I think he's kind of a fucking boring.
I don't know.
I think Cloud's a boring character. That's fine, but he's just kind of like whatever.
Yeah, but like Seven is so much more than Cloud. Seven is like,
no, I know. No, Aerith is like, and I think, and like Aerith and Barret are the best part of those games. Like
I said this on the podcast, and I said it in my written review over at PassControl.io, but this game, Rebirth, has made me care about the characters in Final Fantasy VII, however all the places they exist, has made me care about that cast of characters more than anything else ever has. Like Barret, Aerith, specifically, and Red, actually. I fucking really like Red 13 now, like way more than I ever did before. This game does so much more for these characters. And I think the main plot of the game is where the game has its bigger issues with storytelling, and I'll leave it at that. But yeah, I think a lot of people love 16. Like, I think some people put 16 on like a top three Final Fantasy. I have not played enough Final Fantasy games to say that, to say anything and have it matter, I guess, because I like my, as far as like Final Fantasy games that I have finished, very few mainline Final Fantasy games. Most of the Final Fantasy stuff that I've engaged with in like heavier ways or finished games are all spinoffs. Like I've beat Crystal Chronicles a bunch. I've played both Final Fantasy Tactics games. I played the shit out of fucking Theater Rhythm Final Bar Line. And then I've beaten Seven Remake and Seven Rebirth and 16. I think that might be it. But I've played a portion of 8, never finished it. I played a portion of 15, probably like halfway, never finished it. I played, I don't know, a little bit of 14, and I'll get back to that someday. And then whichever one is Lightning, I think Lightning is 13. I've played a good amount of 13, but I don't think I ever finished it. If I finished it, I don't remember. So, but that brings me to, are you done with Rebirth?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
Nope. I was just going to mention how much Star Wars there is in Final Fantasy, and I never realized it.
How so?
Wedge and Biggs are both characters from Avalanche.
Yeah.
They're X-Wing pilots from Rogue Squadron. Yeah. Red Squadron is the squadron that Wedge is in the attack on the Death Star. There are 12 X-Wings in that platoon, so what would the next X-Wing be?
Red 13, that's interesting. I wonder if that's actually why Red is named that. I wonder if that's like...
I don't know. I mean, Wedge and Biggs are in Avalanche.
Yeah, I mean, an Avalanche is like the Rebels, so... Yeah. Interesting. Huh. But
yeah, I don't remember seeing anything in 16. I would have to go back and like look for it, but now, like, I mean, obviously when they mentioned that like Wedge and Biggs come together in the screen at the beginning of 7. So I was like, oh, I got my eyes open for this now. Like,
last week when we finished or when we were recording, I was kind of in like I'm going to pull back from playing anything big right now, cause I just went back to back Infinite Wealth to Rebirth. So I was in a good Bellatro hole. I was in a B hole for quite a while. I'm still coming out of my B hole. I'm still playing Bellatro pretty regularly, but I was like, I kind of want to play something that is scratching a specific itch. And the more I thought about it, I was like, I really just want to play another Final Fantasy game. Like there are so many Final Fantasy games, and there are so many that I've never played. So I was going back and forth between like where I wanted to land, and I ended up landing on Final Fantasy X, which I think 10/10/2, a lot of people would probably say best Final Fantasy, or at least like top three. So that's where I ended up. I downloaded 8, 9, and 10 to my Xbox, because I was going to probably land between one of those. Todd's mad because I didn't choose 4.
6.
Sorry, yeah, I think you're 6. Jesse loves 4, and Jesse was trying to tell me to play 4. So I had people pulling me in all different directions. But I ended up just landing on 10 because I think I think it was either Ken or Michael Hyam, one of them had said, like, it's a good, like, I think they basically said, like, as far as, like, pillars of Final Fantasy, it's, like, 7 is a pillar, and I think they said, like, 10 for a lot of people is, like, a pillar of, like, if you play Final Fantasy 7, you will understand a lot of what Final Fantasy is about. If you play Final Fantasy 10, you will understand a lot of what Final Fantasy is about. So I was like, yeah, I mean, people love this game. Like, I might as well just jump in. Like, and that's not to say people don't love other games or love 8 or love 9 or whatever, but, like, I think things like 8 and 9 are more divisive, whereas, like, 10 is more like, this is what Final Fantasy is. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just throw it in the ring and see what happens. And it's I'm probably like 5 hours in now. It's fucking real good. Like, it's an older game. It's a fucking PS2 game. So
turn-based,
you gotta kind of, what'd you say?
It's a turn-based.
It is turn-based. So it's an older game. So you gotta wrap your head around that a little bit. But I'm enjoying it a lot. Like, I'm very happy this is where I landed. Even though I think I'd still probably enjoy if I went to 8 or 9. Like, I've played a sliver of 8, and I actually kind of wanted to pick 8 just because I've played a portion of it. But I'm happy that I'm here at 10, just because 10 is like, I think, on the same level as 7, whereas, like, a lot of people say 7 is one of the, you know, most important turn-based RPGs, one of the most important Final Fantasy games. I think people would kind of maybe attribute that to 10 as well. So I feel like 10's a good game for me to get off of my never played list, and then I can move from there. So a week ago I said I don't want to jump into another RPG, and here I am jumping into another like 40 plus hour RPG. So that came out fucking 20 years ago, whatever. So it's like, what am I doing?
I just said the same thing, and now I want to play Fallout 4 after that trailer.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like I want to go back into it and just start from the beginning.
Not only that, it is a good segue for you, because you chose to fucking jump into 14 now that it's on Xbox.
Right, I know.
And that's like a 400 hour game. So
I feel like that's something I can drop in and out of.
Yeah, you can definitely drop in and out of it. But if that hooks you, you're on the hook for a very long, long time.
Oh,
but,
and I can see it hooking me. It's overwhelming right now, though. But yeah. I'm enjoying it so far.
I have to see, because I was playing it on PC. I have to see if I can just play my character on Xbox and not have to pay money to do that. Because if I can do that, then I'll probably just play. I mean, I can probably just still play with you from PC, but I'd rather have the flexibility of playing it on my Xbox than I play downstairs or whatever. Right. Like, I can play it in different rooms other than just sitting in here. So So you're super early, but you're already, like, aside from being overwhelmed because it's an MMO, like, you're feeling
I don't play many games like this, but, like, I kind of dig games like this. Like I was saying, I played, like, the DC Universe game, which is, you know, not really the same thing, but kind of in some ways. But I could totally see myself getting lost in a game like this, you know, especially if I have nothing to play right now.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the next game I'm going to play really is. I haven't really even thought about it yet. Ever since I beat fucking Rebirth, I'm like, oh, I'll play some Sifu. And then I jump from, like, everything. I'm, like, jumping from game to game. I can already tell, like, a gamer ADD right now.
Dom, that thing you just texted is extremely interesting, but don't bring it up right now. Because
that's why I texted and didn't say it.
I
looked up a list and it was like the top 10 Star Wars references you may have missed in Final Fantasies.
Interesting.
And that was one of the ones they brought up.
Interesting. Yeah, it's I don't know if that name is I don't know if that is referenced in original Final Fantasy VII. That's why I don't want to bring it up, because it is a thing in Rebirth that I don't, a thing that Todd actually fucking hated, but I did not. We can talk about it after the show. I don't know. I'm happy I landed on 10. I'm enjoying it so far. The music's really fucking good. The characters are good. I'm curious where the story's going. The only thing I don't love yet, and I don't hate it, but the voice actor that voices the, like, main character, Tidus, I don't think I'm a fan of his voice. I don't know what else he's done. I think someone said he's Ratchet, that voice actor. Taylor, James Arnold Taylor. Let me see what else they are. Voiceover roles, Leonardo in TMNT from 2007. He's apparently Obi-Wan in The Clone Wars.
What's his name?
James Arnold Taylor.
Yes.
Food Fight, I don't know what that is. He's listed as... Oh, in Force Awakens, do they have a bunch of different Obi-Wans, like, talking, like, a Force-sent scene or something? He's listed
and credited there. In the Millennium Falcon, I think Rey hears voices, doesn't she? Or no, when she goes into the tunnel.
And then, yeah, he plays Ratchet, at least in the 2016 one. He plays voices in the Animatrix. That's Mike's touchstone. I'm not going to read through all this stuff. A bunch of Lego things and...
Yeah, I mean, he's a big voice actor.
Yeah, he's got a lot of roles. He's in Nausicaa in the Valley of the Wind. I don't know. There's something about his voice. I actually should listen to clips of him in other things because I'm just curious if that's just how he always sounds and if it has bothered me in other things. But for some reason... His voice for Tidus sounds like an off version of like Matthew Perry to me. And it's like pulling me out of certain dialogue so much. Cause I'm just like, this dude needs to fucking relax. But it's good. I'm excited to play more of it. And I will say it's like a weird thing for me because like I said, like Final Fantasy games have been, something that have kind of evaded my life in like at least the mainline games, and playing through this game now after having like Rebirth and Remake aside, even though Remake is what made me play Seven, like Seven, original Seven existed to me as a demo disc only. Like we never had Seven growing up. We had a PlayStation Magazine demo disc that had like I think you just played the bombing mission and that was the extent of it. I forget what other games were on there, but I played that a bunch, but we never had the game other than that. So like that game never existed for me as a kid. So like a lot of Final Fantasy stuff just never was like a big part. Crystal Chronicles was like probably one of the biggest Final Fantasy games to me growing up because it was like I had a GameCube and this was a fucking GameCube game and it like I played a shit ton of it and I loved it. And it's not a good game, but it's like that's what Final Fantasy was to me for so long. And now that I'm playing 10, and I did have a PS2 at some point growing up, so it was like I'm playing 10, and I'm like, I wonder if my gaming tastes would have been different if like Final Fantasy 7 and Final Fantasy 10 were the things I was playing growing up. Like it's weird to think about because I don't know. It's like you can never know because that's not how I grew up. But I wonder how that would have changed my gaming taste.
It's wild though because I played and loved 6 and 7. Never played another Final Fantasy after that. And like 7 is so like such a part of my like younger years. And same with 6. And like I don't know why I never played another Final Fantasy game after that.
It's kind of wild to me because you love those games so much, and I feel like you don't play a lot of turn-based RPGs.
No, not really. Yeah, maybe that's why Octopath. Yeah, but I feel like you fucking love them. So much. Yeah, weird. You know what? It's like
hit you good.
They're like so time consuming, and then some other game comes out in the mist. Because like a lot of these games are like 80, 90 hour games, and then I'm just like, I start losing steam on them. I think that's my problem.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I pie in the sky. I'd love to be able to finish 10 before PAX. I don't know. We'll see. I'm making good progress. The next week depends on how much I can actually get done. But seeing as how Unicorn Overlord is getting thrown onto my plate now, 10 might take a big hit. We'll see. But before we get into the end of the episode, the last thing I kind of wanted to briefly talk about, we don't have to go too long on it, but it's definitely worth bringing up. I don't think we talked about it all on the show yet. We were just talking about it before we started recording, but... you know, at least as of us recording today on March 8th, 2024, the news broke late last night here in the U.S. that Akira Toriyama passed away. And I know that that is probably a very meaningful and impactful thing for Mike and I. So before Mike and I talk about it a little bit, I don't know if that has any, like, if it resonates with either of you. Like, I know Todd, like, I know up front, Todd doesn't have a lot of personal, like, experience with most of Akira Toriyama's, like, direct works, like Dragon Ball.
I've, like, never even watched Dragon Ball. Yeah, I've never.
You ever played a Dragon Quest game or no?
Yes, the most recent one, and I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah. So, like that, that's another one of his, like, pillars of, like, he does the art for that series. So, like, all of those character designs and stuff are his work. So Chrono Trigger is also him. You ever play Chrono Trigger?
I haven't.
That's a game that I feel like you need to play. Like, yeah, I feel like that is, like, not only, like, a cultural touchstone for a lot of people, but I think that most people would put that in, like, the pantheon of best games ever made. I think you would like that game a lot. What about you, Dom? I don't really know if you have, like...
I watched some Dragon Ball Z, like, after school and stuff, but...
Yeah,
it was never my, like, biggest thing, but...
You've both definitely consumed a lot of stuff that is, like, heavily directly influenced by Toriyama's work. I mean, his impact reaches, like, across every medium at this point. Like, there's so many things that are, you know, either heavily inspired by or, you know, definitely, like, inspired by his work. Before I keep blabbering on, like, what are your, I don't know, like, kind of weird. I know I texted you last night and I was, like, you know, distraught. Yeah, I was, I'm not going to lie. Like, I feel like celebrity, he's a celebrity, but I feel like well-known people that die don't normally, like, I don't think I ever get, like, emotionally attached to it in a big way. But this one, like, I sat and reflected last night. And again, I had a couple of drinks, so I was, you know, I was already prime for that to happen. But, I don't know. Like, I sat and thought about just, like, the impact that Toriyama had on, like, my life specific, like, me growing up, like, is, like, so many touchstone moments of, like, either something he created or something he worked on or something that was, like, spawned off of something he made. But before I go down that path, Mike, where are you at with Toriyama?
Dragon Ball Z was one of, like, the earlier shows I can think of. And I just mean shows in general, where, like, it was a thing me and my peers were following. That was, like, the, oh, did you see what happened last time? And keeping up with an actual storyline in a series.
Yeah.
And
that was honestly, that's probably the same for me. That's probably the first time that, like, a television show is, like, the thing I was watching week to week, like, waiting for the plot to roll out.
Yeah. For progress, yeah. And looking at all of the reactions and things, it's like I knew Dragon Ball was influential, but it never really crossed my mind just, like, how wide reaching it was. Like, I knew it was special, and I knew a handful of other things were like, oh yeah, there's a direct connection here, but, like, seeing the, like, outside of Dragon Quest and Chrono Trigger, like, seeing the influences elsewhere in video games or, you know, other things that I forgot had direct, you know, references to Dragon Ball Z. It's like, wow, this really was a big thing.
Yeah. Like, I read a lot of stuff last night, and obviously, like, Twitter was alive in the good kind of way that I haven't seen Twitter be alive this way in so long. Like, it was a good website for once, and it was just good to see. Like, I don't think I saw, like, I only just saw, like, outpouring of love, and, like, I learned so many new things about, like you said, like, so many other influences and, like, things that became things off of his ideas and stuff. And it's just, like, I never knew the Dr. Slump references that led to like direct Sonic attributes and Mario things. Like I didn't know any of those things. And it's just like, it's kind of wild to see somebody who just inspired so many people, touched so many people, like brought, I don't think it's incorrect to say like brought Japanese animation and manga to like the world stage on a big level. Like I was looking at, I mean, this is Wikipedia, so take it for what it is, but I pulled up like best-selling manga of all time. Dragon Ball is number 4. So it goes One Piece, Golgo 13, which I've never heard of. You know what that is?
I've heard of it. I think Golgo 13, I think there is...
It's still running. It's 1968 to present, it says.
Yeah, I want to say Golgo 13 has some representation in Jump Force. I'll have to double check. It was like one of the characters like, oh, I never saw this before.
But yeah. Continue. And then Case Closed, Detective / Detective Conan. And then Dragon Ball. But what I think is super interesting is that like if you dial in a little bit more, the three that are above Dragon Ball are ongoing.
Yes, they're ongoing, and yeah, they have not stopped.
And not only that, so like it says One Piece, number of collective volumes, 107.
Yeah.
107. Golgo 13, 208. Case Closed, 102. All ongoing. Dragon Ball, 42 volumes, and its average sales per volume is 6.19 million, whereas Case Closed above it is 2.65. So, like, it's really only above it because, not, and this is like throwing shade at Case Closed, but like, it's above it because it's ongoing, because it has more than double the amount of volumes. And it's only 10 million more. So, it's like,
it's barely above it.
It's barely above it. And then Golgo 13 is at 300 million. So Dragon Ball is at 260 million. So it's like still not that much more. 1.45 million average sales per volume. So it's like, again, like Dragon Ball is realistically number 2. One Piece, the numbers change a little bit. It's 523 million and it's 4.89 million average. So it's like, it's, it, I think it is in that spot more justifiably.
One Piece is wild.
But even that, like that being said, like you love One Piece. One Piece probably only exists because of Dragon, because of Toriyama. You know what I mean? Naruto only exists because of Toriyama. Like there are so many things that probably just never would exist without Toriyama's work. And this is like, I saw so many different people say things like, imagine being the person that made the Dragon Quest slime, and that's not even the most famous thing you're known for. You know what I mean? Like, that's a crazy thing to say and be a fact. It's like, no, this dude made Goku among everything else in the Dragon Ball universe. Like, this dude made Goku, who's like, I don't know, probably one of the most recognizable characters in the world, I would imagine.
I need to one day, for fun, just like show my mother pictures of pop culture things
and
just
see what she knows.
See what she knows. I think she would recognize Goku as like a thing in my room.
Yeah.
But she could not go any further than
that. I can't wait to find out what she names Goku.
Yeah, that's a real exciting thing.
But what if she says Goku, then what?
Then we win.
I'd call it quits. I'd be like, you know what? If I were a betting man, I would have bet poorly. You've proven me wrong. Congratulations.
Mike, what do you think? What do you think? So Dragon Ball is 4, and this is all according to Wikipedia. What do you think the next 6 are to round out the top 10?
I'm trying to figure out where Naruto would go in. I feel like Naruto is in that top 10 somewhere. And let's see. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Naruto was either 5 or 6. I'm going to say 5.
Nope.
Wow.
It is 6, though.
Oh.
So there's something in between Naruto and Dragon Ball.
This is worldwide, or is it?
I would imagine.
Does Hello Kitty have a manga?
I'm sure she does. I just don't know if it's... I don't know if that's...
I'm just trying to think of, like, super popular characters, yeah. Like, worldwide super popular characters.
I will say it is not... Like, these are going to just be, like, they're things like, from... They're going to be anime characters. Or manga. Yeah, they're okay, going to okay. be that, yeah.
Yeah. I
is
want...
Is Shin-Chan there?
Shin-Chan is number 10.
Oh, look at that. Dom's a pro.
Is...
There's one Doraemon? In here that I Doraemon is after Dragon Ball.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That was like where I was going was characters that are like
yeah like well known characters yeah
worldwide characters yeah.
So you definitely know number 7 as like a thing. I don't know if you'll be able to pull number 7. I don't know what number 8 is, so I don't know if you do. You may know it. And then number 9, you definitely know.
Okay. So I'm trying to think if I believe Sailor Moon. I don't think. Yeah.
It is not in this list of top. It is not in the list yeah. of. So this list is compiled by at least 100 million copies and above. And Sailor Moon is not there.
What is the list actually? Like top manga or top like selling characters?
Oh, so it's Demon Slayer.
I think this is just. Approximate. It's. I think it's approximate sales of tankobon volumes, which I'm assuming is just manga volumes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Demon Slayer did well. I don't know if it would be in the top 10 just because I don't think
it's not old enough.
Well, it's number 9, Mike.
Huh. Oh wow, that's impressive. Because it's over. I don't know how many volumes it is, but like
it is 23 volumes. Yes, yeah. And it is only a 4-year run. So you're missing
Titan,
8 and 9.
Titan's got to be in there.
I'm sorry, you're missing 7 and 8.
Oh yeah, Attack on Titan would be a.
Attack on Titan is number 11.
Oh wow.
So here I'll go through the bottom of the list to.
Here's a quick question. Okay, I don't know if it would be up there, and I don't remember what the name of the actual. I forget the name of it in Japanese because when it was airing on Foxbox when I was a kid, they had. It was like a sequel series and they called it Ultimate Muscle, but I forget what the actual name of the show is.
I can see that. I can see the characters.
It was like a wrestling show.
Yeah.
I what it's actually called.
I don't believe it is one it's of these there. Things. Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's one of those.
Did we get any Astro Boy in there yet?
Astro Boy is lower on the list. So 11 down is
okay, let's hear. Yeah.
Attack on Titan. Oishinbo.
I don't know.
Bleach. Dom's favorite. Yep. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh yeah.
Astro Boy.
There it is.
Fist of the North Star.
Oh yeah.
Hajime no Ippo.
Ippo. That's the boxing one.
That's not Ultimate Muscle, though, right?
No, it's not.
Okay. The Kindaichi Case Files?
I don't know that one.
Kingdom?
I've heard good things about Kingdom recently, but I don't know anything about it.
And Touch?
I don't know Touch.
So, there are 2 left, 7 and 8. Again, one of them you definitely at least know of this thing, and then the other one I don't know if you know it or not.
Mike, you had a guess, right?
He said Berserk, but Berserk is not one of them.
What about Prince Tsubasa? Is that the soccer one?
Soccer one.
Captain Tsubasa. That is at the top of the next list, between 50 and 99 million. That is a 90 million joint, right next to Jujutsu Kaisen.
I'm trying to see if there's anything up here that I think would actually.
Baki the Grappler is not Ultimate Muscle, right? I don't think so.
No. Baki the Grappler. That's also like a.
I think I found it because I recognize this character. I think it is Kinnikuman is the Ultimate Muscle one.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, Baki the Grappler. It's like another like fighting one, but I forget what actual.
At least one of these, I would be surprised. Actually, maybe I wouldn't be surprised. But no, just based on what I know your personal preferences are, I would be surprised if you had anything for it behind you.
You'd be surprised.
Unless you just randomly bought a volume of a manga that you don't intend on reading.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that
I don't think
know you would. It, but I wouldn't own it.
Yeah, I don't think you would, because I'll this might be too revealing, but I don't think you like I don't think you like this genre of manga.
Okay.
Or
so
anime.
I'm thinking it's a romance or like a shoujo of some sort.
I mean, I don't think it is. No, it's a shonen.
It's a shonen?
Yes. They're both of these are shonens.
Shonen. Okay.
You guys give up? Because I have the answer.
One of them is a comedy.
Okay.
Which that's the one I don't know if you're going to know what it is. Mm-hmm. And the other one is a sport.
Is a sport. Oh, so Haikyuu?
It's not Haikyuu.
Think about Michael Jordan.
Get there.
Michael Jordan.
Todd really wants this segment to be over.
Oh, it's slam dunk.
Yeah, it's slam dunk. I'll just say the other one, unless you have a guess, because I don't think
I've
never heard of it, so maybe you don't know it, or maybe you do. Kochi Kame, Tokyo Beat Cops.
I think I've heard of it, but I wouldn't pull that one out of my ass.
Yeah, that's what I figured you wouldn't have been able to.
Is slam dunk that big of a deal?
Slam dunk is
people really like
a movie.
Yeah,
that came out in theaters like last year.
There are a few sport ones that people really like. I think Mike said Haikyuu. I think people like that one a lot too.
People like Haikyuu a lot.
It's next to Berserk with the 60 million mark, but yeah, there's another sport one that people like. Blue Lock? Is that a soccer one? Yeah.
That's also soccer.
I mean, there's also Captain Tsubasa, which people clearly like, 90 million. That's another soccer one.
And of course, Prince of Tennis. People love Prince of Tennis.
Prince of Tennis.
I don't know if people love Prince of Tennis, but
Prince of Tennis is right below Haikyuu.
Okay.
I think I saw another one in here too.
Oh, okay. I was like, why do I know Tokyo Beat Cops? One of the guys was in Jump Stars.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I figured as much.
Crazy. Yeah, part of the reason why I went down that little path there was earlier I was doing a lot of just reading on like general Toriyama stuff to see if there was like things I didn't really know about him or whatever. Because one of the like I've watched all of Dragon Ball, I've watched all of Dragon Ball Z. I have never gotten around to GT or Super. But I never really engaged with Dr. Slump at all. So I was kind of looking into that a little bit more. I'm going to see if I can actually find a copy of Volume 1 to buy that isn't super expensive. And then probably just either read it online, or there's two different animes for it. So I'm gonna check it out, because it seems like Dr. Slump is also super influential in a lot of things that, like, in sort of the same way Dragon Ball was. Like, obviously Dragon Ball did something else other than just influence people. Like, it pretty much just, like, created like the battle shonen, like the framework for what all of these other shows and stuff would become after. Is that fair to say, Mike? You would know better than me. Is Mike frozen? Mike's internet had to have crapped out or something.
No, he's not. And his phone blinked.
He did not blink.
He's just pissed off.
He just doesn't want to answer you.
Well, I think that's a great... We're running over the hour anyway, so... yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, this is a very, you know, sad... Mike said...
Yeah, he doesn't know what his computer is.
Yeah, don't want a computer shit. All right. So I think for a lot of people, this is a very sad death, myself included. I would say for Mike, because I feel pretty confidently that Mike also is probably sad about this one. So rest in peace to Akira Toriyama. I think a lot of people are better because of his contributions to the world. Yeah. That'll bring us...
I already did that.
That'll bring us to the end of the show. But before we wrap things up, as we always do... we will end with the game. But before we do that, I'll outro the show real quick.
We should probably wait for Mike to...
Oh,
yeah. I'll do the outro stuff, and then we'll see where Mike's at. So thank you so much for listening to this week's episode 410 of the Past Controller Podcast. If you're a friend of the show, fan of the show, you want to help support the show, a bunch of ways you can do that. The easiest way and the freest way to do that is to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to the show. It really helps us continue to grow the show, get better opportunities, and do more stuff for you. So if you have a moment and you want to leave us a quick 5-star review, it is super, super helpful. As a reminder, if you're an audio listener, which most of you are out there, we do record the show live every week at twitch.tv/passcontroller. So if you want to catch the show live, we usually record around the weekend, so you can catch us over there. If you can't catch us live and you still want to see the show with your eyeballs instead of your ear holes, you can watch the VOD on Twitch or go to our YouTube channel, search Pass the Controller Podcast on YouTube. It'll come up and you can find us there and watch the VOD later after the show comes out. If you have bucks kicking around, you want to support us, a couple of ways you can do that. Go to twitch.tv/passcontroller and subscribe to us there. You can go to passthecontroller.threadless.com and get some swag, or go to patreon.com/passthecontroller and become a patron. With that stuff being out of the way, as we wait for Mike to get back in, we are going to play a game that we usually play, which is called Answer Unlocked. And if it's your first time listening, or you've not listened to the show before, or you haven't heard this specific game before, rather, Answer Unlocked is a game where Mike texts us and says, back on in a minute, is a game where I will read the achievements / trophies for 3 different games. The first person to get the game correct gets the point. As I pull these up, we wait for Mike. We will, I don't know.
Did you guys see the thing in Mexico where they like were playing the Goku Jiren fight?
Yes.
No. There's like thousands and thousands and thousands of people. They were advertising it like it was like a real fight.
That's funny. I like Dragon Ball, man. Last night I was like, oh, I'm gonna fucking fall asleep watching some Dragon Ball now. And now I'm at the point where I might just rewatch it casually in the background, because it's good stuff. I did pick up Akira Toriyama's Manga Theater, which is, you're back, like a lot of his one-offs that got published in like Weekly Shonen Jump and stuff, so I might read that now soon as well. Said Mike's back, but is Mike actually back? The world may never know.
You guys, I'm here.
This is Todd's perfect case scenario, because the first place is Mike still in first? No, Dom's in first. The leaderboard for, there he is.
I have a lot
the
of
leaderboard for the year as it stands is Dom in first with 12, Mike in second with 11. And Todd all the way down there in third with 5 points. Are you back, Mike? You're muted still. As we wait for Mike to hop back in the seat in a full capacity, we can just keep talking about how much Mike loves, I don't know. Todd, do a good Mike impression.
Hey guys, it's me, Mike.
I can't tell if tonight's game is going to be all devil horns or what. We'll find out. There he is. Okay. For game number one, you need to give me most of the title. If you are able to give me the full title when you say the game, you will get 2 points. Because I don't think anyone's going to do that. Game number one. Living Legend. Awarded for earning all available achievements / trophies.
Dragon Quest XI.
It is Dragon Quest XI.
There you go. He's on top of it.
You would have got 2 points if you had said Dragon Quest XI Echoes of an Elusive Age.
Oh, I would have never gotten that.
Yeah, that's why I was a 2 point. I was a 2-pointer. All right, well, Todd sniped that one off the top. So let's see how the next one goes. Game number two. Back Attack. Complete.
Blue Dragon.
What the fuck, Todd?
Oh, Todd came to play today.
All
right. I'm Googling these right now, so. No, oh, come on. Like, I'm literally sitting here with my...
I know what you're doing. you clearly were looked at like, games.
Listen, I know the through line.
Fucking artwork for. All right. Game number three.
That's all I got. That's all I know.
Incorrect. For this, you need to give me the full title. If you do not give me the full title, you do not get the point.
Those are the only two games I knew, so I'm shit out of luck. Man.
Well, the other one was Chrono Trigger, and I already said it.
Yeah. No achievements for that, though.
The Breaking Point. Obtain all achievements/trophies. We'll survive. Oh, Jesus. Fucking holy Boston accent just came out. We'll survive if we work together. Complete the prologue. Time for a makeover. Change your costume.
Dragon Ball Kakarot?
Incorrect. Training to survive. Train any skill up to +20.
Dragon Ball Fighters?
Incorrect. Your suffering starts now. Power any raider skill up to +20.
Oh, Dragon Ball Z.
Xenoverse?
No, it's the Breakers.
It is indeed the Breakers. It's not Dragon Ball Z, but it's the Breakers.
Dragon Ball Breakers, yeah.
Yeah. That ends the week with what I... Blue Dragon, I was not sure. Todd clearly looked at games Akira Toriyama.
No, I saw... Well, like, I last night when I was, like, looking up stuff on him, I was like, oh, I kind of remember that game, but I never played that game.
I did it. But I never finished it. I don't think I ever finished it. It's really
good. I feel like I kind of want to play it. Like, it's good. You can still buy it on it.
Yeah, it was an Xbox exclusive when it came out. I don't know if it ever got ported elsewhere, but yeah, it's probably like $5 on Xbox. You probably just get it for $5. I have a physical copy somewhere. I don't know if I ever finished it though, but it's real good. They made a sequel. I think it was a sequel for the DS or the 3DS. I think it was called Blue Dragon Plus. I never played that though. Blue Dragon, I wasn't sure if anyone had knew what that game was, so I wasn't sure if that was going to be a Devil Horns. And then of all the Dragon Ball games to pick, I feel like the Breakers would have been a little harder one to pull. But Mike said, nah, I got this. So that'll do it for this week's episode, episode 410 of the show. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time.